Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. You know, one of my most favorite psalms is Psalm 42. It's a catalyst for two great songs of the contemporary church. As the deer panteth for the water, and why so downcast, O my soul? They're sung almost universally, and they speak to the ebbs and flows of our Christian life. We all go through times of discouragement, unsettledness, and discontent. But what do you do during those times? In just a moment, Ken presents a reflection on Psalm 42 titled, Song in the Night.
Hello everyone, I trust this finds you well and looking forward to another edition of Times of Refreshing. We're going to look at another precious psalm today, and that is Psalm 42. The 150 psalms included in the scriptures are sometimes divided into books. And Psalm 42 is the first under the section called Book 2 of the Psalms, and they include Psalm number 42 all the way through to 72. The writer is not named here, but the style and the spirit is very much like one of the many psalms that David wrote. There are two parts to this short psalm of just 11 verses, and the end of each part is marked by the same refrain, in verse 5 as well as in verse 11. And that refrain is, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And we find an identical refrain in the last verse 5 of the very next Psalm 43. So it's a sad psalm or a song written by a soul that is under the weight and the burden of being cast down, and yet hoping in God. It speaks of a spirit who is down but not out. For the Christian, it need not be down and out, but instead it can be down and up. For the Christian, the way down can be the way up, toward God Himself. The seminal book written by the great preacher D. Martin Lloyd-Jones called Spiritual Depression actually sprang from this psalm, and the sigh conveyed in those two verses, 5 and 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? There is another classic Spanish 16th century poem and treatise written by John of the Cross, which was entitled The Dark Night of the Soul, which well expresses the sentiment felt keenly by the psalmist here. And yet, for the believer, this need not be something chronic or permanent. Instead, using the words of Job in chapter 35, verse 10, the Christian has a God who gives songs in the night. And Psalm 42 is one of these songs in the night. It is not depressing, but its honesty is uplifting. There are three movements in this short psalm. Let's consider the first four verses. This is about the thirsty soul and tells us about dryness. Let's commence reading from verse 1 of Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? These first two verses describe the spiritual state of someone who is longing for God. And this is compared to a panting deer desperately searching for water brooks or streams to quench and to slake its thirst. Thirst can be actually more acute than hunger. You may survive for a fairly long time without food, but not very long without water. Here we have a picture of a soul that is thirsty and longing for God in the heat of the day. The wells have been dried up. The water bottles have been emptied. The reason why we do not have such soul thirst is because there is no aridity or drought in our lives. It's the occurrence of dry seasons or spells from time to time which create this spiritual hunger and thirst. This is very similar to another psalm of David in Psalm 63, with the same sentiment expressed in the very opening verses. O God, You are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. God permits dry seasons to occur in order to deepen our spiritual desires and to prevent complacency setting in. These deprivations are timely and temporary, but they cultivate an appreciation for the blessings and the comforts that we have so far been enjoying from God. This is a call to seek God and to meet God for Himself when there is nothing much externally to excite us about. And this is not to be done before others or with people, but with God alone. It's to draw us out to Himself so that we are weaned from the world. This inward longing is intensified by two things. First, in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? This is the continual taunt and sneering suggestions of the enemy. And the enemy can be Satan, or it can be ourselves, or it could be others. This sounds very much like the Old Testament figure of Job in his struggles in the book of Job. The sting of the question, where is your God, is that it is not just a general question to undermine faith, but one which is personally directed. The implication is not that there is no God, but that He has left you and that He is not with you. That's the great suggestion and lie of the devil, that God does not care for you, that He has forgotten and forsaken you. And with that comes a growing and debilitating feeling that He's not present with you. There comes over you a feeling of emptiness and forsakenness. Loneliness and darkness swiftly descends as we allow the pattern of thoughts to follow this trend. What a contrast this feeling is between the low of personal desolation that is felt against the high of a communal celebration and corporate worship all around us. And the downcast person keenly feels this painful contrast between the absence and the presence of God. It's a very common, but nevertheless mistaken notion and conclusion that things are wrong when the feeling is gone. But that is just not true, as we shall see in the second movement. In verses 5 and 6, we find the downcast soul, and it is all about dejection, just as the first four verses tell us about the thirsty soul, about dryness. Verse 5. This is the first refrain of an introspective conversation. The psalmist is here thinking and talking aloud to himself. And that's not wrong. It's a natural thing to do when there's no one else to talk to or to confide, to help clarify, to reason, or to seek an answer. Verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Notice the question has shifted from where is your God at the end of verse 3 to why. Why are you cast down, O my soul, in verse 5? The basis and scene of questioning has shifted from an external observation of God, where is your God, to an internal observation of self. Why are you cast down, O my soul? This is when the dejected soul is having to face the rising feelings that overwhelm. It is at such times, more than any other time, that we need to pray the Word of God and to speak the Word of God to ourselves. That is the only thing that can eject the dejection. It's a dreadful state to be in. It's like a pall of smoke and an ash cloud that smothers everything. We have heard how volcanic ashes that arise from an eruption can just lock down and close off an entire airspace of a whole country or even a continent. So likewise, we may feel trapped, crippled and paralyzed by such dark and gloomy feelings coming over us. It's like a short circuit, which causes a trip in power and trigger a total blackout. This is described in two ways here in this verse. First is the word downcast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? The soul is cast down, it's feeling down and despondent. There's nothing more dreadful than a growing feeling of discouragement and despondence. There's no way to describe how awful it is to feel dejected and depressed. The second way it is described here in verse 5 is disquieted. Why are you disquieted within me? This describes the state of being disturbed or unsettled. One is unhappy and discontented, and therefore begin to feel irritable and vexed by every little thing. There's something fundamental that we all need to understand concerning feelings, and that is feelings can never be controlled directly. We can't simply switch on a be happy button. It doesn't work that way. In fact, there is no such button. Feelings follow from acting with the will, the mind, and the body. So it's through willing, thinking, and doing, which in turn affects our feeling. And this is precisely what the psalmist is doing here. He cries out in hope, and he cries out for help. First, hope. In the same verse 5, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. What can we do when feeling down or depressed? Do not stay or indulge in a morose introspection. That's the most dangerous thing. Yet in such times, one is in no mood to be with others or to talk to others. The solution is neither to look inwards to ourselves or outwards to others, but upwards to God. Hope in God, as the psalmist says. Christian hope is never a contingency, but always a certainty, because it is based on the person and the character of God, who changes not. My hope does not rest on my hoping, but it rests in Him. So don't philosophize, but pray, just as the psalmist did. The second thing that he did was not only to cry out in hope, but to cry out for help. And this is the fourth and last part of the single verse 5. For the help of His countenance. This is the expectation of His help. Just as He has helped us in the past, so will He be in the present distress. Always remember that God is a very present help, as it says in the opening verse 1 of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's not only the God of help in ages past, but He is a very present help in trouble. The psalmist is able to say, I shall yet praise Him. And he's referring to not only the time when help will finally come, but also praising Him right now, immediately, before things or feelings have yet to actually change. There is nothing that dispels and chases away the blues or the clouds of gloom as powerfully as praise. It acts like the wind or the sunshine, and it just blows away the dark clouds of gloom. Praise is the best gloom disinfectant and repellent. So have it ready and use it often, especially when you're down, but you don't have to be out. In fact, with it, you can be up and about. Verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mitzah. This is no longer a soliloquy, that means talking to yourself or asking yourself, but telling God how you truly feel. We see the turning point here from, O my soul, in the previous verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul, to this in verse 6, O my God. When you have turned that curve, it's a big leap forward. Your mindset is no longer, O my soul and my misery, but, O my God, what glory. This is in effect a no-frills prayer. It is the bearing of the soul to God. And the psalmist is here recalling the God of his past in all the landmarks of his spiritual history. It evokes a remembrance of far-off places and experience when even He was there. And if He was with me then, so can He be with me here and now. The third and final movement in the psalm is from verses 7 to 11. The quieted soul. And this deals with the subject of depth. The quieted soul, depth. It's a wonderful thing to be calmed and to be quieted. A most vivid and concise description is given to us in Psalm 131, one of the shortest psalms. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child, is my soul within me. And here we have the similar experience of the psalmist in Psalm 42, as a calmed and quieted soul, just like a weaned child with a mother. Reading on in Psalm 42 verse 7, "Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me." Notice the word "your." It's the Lord's waterfalls or water spouts. It's the Lord's waves and billows or breakers. It's what He has permitted to come over me. You know, something about physical water spouts as a meteorological phenomenon is that they often look formidable when in reality they are mostly harmless. In the same way, tempests and floods are sometimes permitted by God in our lives. They put us in a place of desperation and therefore dependence on God more than ever before. The phrase "deep calls to deep" has this meaning. It means, out of the depths of my own despair and darkness, I call out to discover the greater depths of God's mercy and love than I've known before. From the depths of my being, I discover the greatness of the depths of His being. This is how He brings spiritual depth and ballast into our lives. Reading on in verse 8, "The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." The psalmist is calling out to a God who is in control and in command. And this is what God commands as He watches over us in sovereign control. In another short psalm, 133, verse 3, it says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." And he's talking about unity of the brethren. That's the context. So first of all, we see God commands His blessing in unity. And secondly, in the psalm that we have been considering, Psalm 42, verse 8, He commands His loving kindness, especially in adversity or perplexity. This is what the Lord commands in all His authority. It happens all day and all night, in fact, at all times. In an earlier verse 3, we have read that "my tears have been my food day and night." Now instead, we have in verse 8, the Lord commanding His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. What a change and a contrast from tears to His loving kindness and His songs. We can only experience this in going through the deep. It's like His life jacket for the rising waters and when faced with the overwhelming floods. Send up a prayer to the God of my life, as the psalmist did right here. This is a prayer of desperation, a prayer of abandonment when there seems to be no hope of life. This element of pain and pleading is something that is missing in the prayers of those who are alive and well and when everything goes smoothly and rosily with them. Verse 9 and 10, "I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God?" There's a reference to recurring waves and cycles of desolation. They keep coming, and sometimes they never seem to go away. We hear the repeated "why" and the "where" of doubts and fears, of taunts and suggestions, of temptations and questions. Do not be surprised if difficulties do not disappear at once, or if they come back again. Counter it with the same refrain as in the last verse 11, to the same God. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." That's the final answer to the perplexing and unsettling question, "Where is your God?" It's settled and finished when he ends with the last refrain, "The help of my countenance and my God." Where is your God? He is my God, and He is here to help. He's drawn to praise God for Himself, and not just for His blessing or His deliverance. He is my help. Remember in your darkest days that we can trust Him even when we cannot trace Him. In the midst of all that you may be going through, may you still be refreshed by the Lord's presence and reached by His Word.
Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And join us again tomorrow when Ken begins a two-part series on the mind of Christ. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.